in all our matters. We like to start on a good note, and then we end also in a good note, inshallah. And that's the possible reason we say اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير. Start off well and end well. The marriage is not just for that day. You want a big reception, welcome, mahabbat, happiness for that day, and the happiness to continue right to the end. So it's a relationship with Allah Ta'ala, and let's start on a good note. That's the lesson that you learn in the Mubarak month of Muharram. Starting off, whatever happened, happened. Now let's start off on a good note. Hoping that we start off on a good note, Allah Ta'ala will allow that note to continue. So the best note to start off on is the note of Tawbah. There are three classes. Men can be categorized in three classes. One is that class that have absolutely no sin, sinless, pure creation. And let alone sin, even the thought of sin doesn't pass their mind. So this is the class of the Anbiya. كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَى. So evil, any type of indecent behavior doesn't come close to them. It's just warded off. They're coming and they moved off. Coming and they moved off. So that's the class of the Anbiya. That even the thought of evil doesn't pass their mind. So they're so pure in their minds, so pure in their behavior. The Shaykh Radhis Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, purity of the mind, no wet dream, no bad dream. From the beginning to the end, no bad dream, wet dream. To a wet dream. Sometimes, even the Anbiya can have ihtilam. But the ihtilam is not as a result of a dream. So, no dream. They say it is because of imtila of the o'iya. The vessels that carry this, they spill out. So that's a different thing. Sometimes it's a movement and this thing spills out. So that's a different thing. But otherwise, no dream. But the Mawsib bin Nuri Sahib Rahmatullahi, it's about nothing, absolutely. So what must be the level of the purity of the ummah? This was the purity, the level of purity of the ummah. Can you imagine the Anbiya? What must be the purity? How pure, immaculate, accurate, too excellent. But even the thought of wrong doesn't cross their mind. So the one that sees him for the first time, and he's just overawed. Ma ra'it laysa bi wajhin kadhdhab. First, this encounter. This man is not a liar. First encounter. So this is one class. That is the Anbiya alayhim salam. And Allah Ta'ala obviously will appoint such persons who have that level of purity, cleanliness, soundness. Not even the thought of evil passes their mind. So it was an error. It was an error in judgment, in their reasoning. See, we will do a wrong, right? The wrong doesn't have to be the error in our reasoning. Sometimes it's a mixture of lust, temptation, etc. And that's our mistake. That's our wrong. And there, it's not their wrong. It's a calculation, it's a reasoning. Like Yunus alayhi salam had left his people, right? Because he warned them about an impending punishment that is about to descend. And then he thought, now what's the good of staying in the people when they have invited the wrath and the anger of Allah Ta'ala? Why should we remain with them? Let's move on. They have exposed themselves to punishment. Now I need to move on, because these people are causing problems here. But the reasoning was right. But the mistake was, he didn't wait for a divine instruction. So even the movement, harakat wa sakanat, the movement is governed. They don't just make a movement. So they are so particular. Allah Pak looks after them, takes such care of them, that they can't even move without Allah Pak's consent. So it's just a mistake. He felt, well, there's no point in staying with these people here, because they bent in their ways, now let me move on. And there is an azab that is to befall. And keeping that in mind, he moved. So if you look at the reason for moving, it was not temptation, it was not evil. It was an error of judgment. So this class of people are called the Anbiya alayhi salam. Anbiya, Nabis, Prophets, right? They are that class. So they are servants, as though bodily they are men, but they have all the sifat, all the characteristic of the malaika. They appear like men, right? In body they are men. But within them they are angels. So all the characteristic and the goods of angels you'll find in the Anbiya alayhim salam. But just that they appear as men. So they will live like men, they'll eat, etc. Because they have human needs, so they will live like men. But within them they are just angels, malaika. So this is one class. The second class is that class who does a wrong and he's not ashamed of himself. He expresses no remorse, no regret. Absolutely, he's fine. The wrong that he's doing, he doesn't find the regret, no remorse. He's not ashamed of it. Not ashamed of it at all. In fact, he goes on persisting on that wrong. And now this class is called the shaitan. So he does the wrong, he doesn't feel ashamed, he doesn't have any type of remorse, absolutely no remorse for the wrong that he is doing. In fact, he feels that what he is doing is right. So now, such a class of person, he has closed the doors of repentance. Because he is doing a wrong, and he is adamant. He doesn't want to make tawbah, he doesn't want to repent, doesn't want to correct, not even feeling embarrassed and ashamed of himself. So he's closed the door. Man will repent when he feels remorse. But there's absolutely no 0% of remorse. Can he make istighfar and tawbah? Now, this is where the world stands today. Right? That we are moving in an era, and we're not taking cognizance of the era that we are moving in. We are moving in an era. Qayyim Ibn Sabr used to quote this hadith. It should be in some kitab. That's for people that could go and research, they'll find the hadith. He should say, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْكَيْفَ إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْمُنْكَرَ مَعْرُوفًا كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْمُنْكَرَ مَعْرُوفًا وَالْمَعْرُوفَ مُنْكَرًا. We'll be living in a time you'll see good as wrong and wrong as good. وَأَشَدُّ ذَلِكَ يَكُونَ. The worst things that will happen. Now what you are seeing, that good is seen as bad and bad is seen as good. And the hadith is warning, you will see sometimes even worse. So in this last few weeks, I had to tell a lot of people that are coming in. You know? So now we've reached a time that every passage of communication is becoming more and more available. You got a lot of access to a lot of communication. This bayan, that radio, overseas, the local, abroad. And one talk is more dynamic than the other. One is trying to imitate the other. It's becoming more and more dynamic. When the words are so dynamic, then you must listen to it. And for that moment, you feel really charged. And people want to listen to them. But in the process, they're adding to the confusion. As Thanvi Sahib Rahmah says, when he was studying in Darul Deoband, it was a great era of Deobandism. And let's hope our madrasas can be like that. In that era, it was such that you could see, could hear children crying at the time of Tahajjud. Quran Sharif, Zikr, and could actually see this person in his room, but he's crying away. You could hear Zikr at the early part of the morning. And he says, it was such a beautiful era, from the gatekeeper, right, to the person occupying the highest position in the madrasa, Sheikh al-Hadith, right. All of them were very strongly linked with Allah Ta'ala. You see, Sahib al-Nisbat, very strongly linked, they're making zikr, crying to Allah Ta'ala, istighfar wa bil ashari hum yastaghfirun. So, the madrasa at that time, it was just buzzing. You know, full speed, going full speed. Right. At that time, once I saw a dream. Once I saw a dream that there's some buildings, but very dilapidated and all that. Not good buildings. Right. And then I saw, after some time, I saw beautiful buildings coming up. So he says, at that time, initial stages, the buildings weren't there, but the product was coming out of it. True beautiful product was coming out. And then the money started pouring in, buildings came up, but you couldn't find that level of production. It was dilapidated, broken down, not right, needs to be fixed up, done that. But all that, the building came right, but the product wasn't as good. Right. So that time the buildings weren't so good, but the product was too beautiful. So one person is coming, one person, and it's enough for the whole country, for a whole area. He's so powerful, he's so dynamic, that he's sufficient to serve the entire area. See the dynamism that came out. So every student is like that. And then you're getting teachers then. They employed, officially they employed for 4 hours. When you go and examine their private life, they are teaching students on the side for sometimes, without exaggeration, 18 hours, 19 hours, with no remuneration. Now, if you heard this, you just heard the first line, you think, alright, it's a good package now, you're collecting from this person, say, 500 rand. So, at the end of the month, that salary you get, you don't get it, you just buy the way. You're getting 20 times more on the tuition and the salary. So it wasn't like that. And they're teaching, how they're teaching. And the students, the thirst was such that if you come to a start, someone was studying, was telling me that we used to go tomorrow, Azaz Ali, right, to learn. But his whole time is occupied. So, alright, I can just push you, I can give you a slot. It's about 1 hour before Fajr. That's the only time I can give, because otherwise my whole time is occupied. But you see the ustads, the teachers, the students, and what was the caliber. So the buildings were all dilapidated, but the product was too beautiful. Now the buildings became too beautiful, and the product has been affected. So around this time, this was the golden era, as Thanvi Sahib Rahmah was studying there. So, that environment must affect the person. So when there's zikr, Quran Sharif, you're talking to Allah Ta'ala, remembering Allah Ta'ala, someone is crying. So, that environment must affect the person. Like you go into a home where there's Quran Sharif, zikr, namaz, all that taking place, you'll just feel the warmth you'll feel hospitality. He doesn't have to be too good, doesn't have to be in a state, but just that you'll feel the warmth in that place. You'll feel, no, I think this is my home. But you can go into a home, palatial, all features, painting, beautiful, food, well laid out, but there's no zikr, Quran, nothing there. You feel want to say, we need to move away from there. Don't really feel like that. So the thing that actually beautifies the house is the action, the behavior. Quran, zikr, ta'aleem, namaz, everything is done on time. That is the beauty. That makes it up. You feel, you see the understanding, you see the love, you see the respect, everything you see, you can feel that in that house. It's a level of respect. Feel al-judu wa feel al-karam. You see the hospitality, you see the respect. So if there is a thing that we need to invest in this day, it's this. Some ta'aleem, some zikr, some Quran Sharif, someone is studying on kitab, some ta'aleem carrying on, and someone is crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, what a beautiful atmosphere. The atmosphere is so good. That means that house is thronging with malaika, surrounded by malaika. Day in and day out, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu's house, and from the morning to 24/7, right? All the time it's buzzing. So there's three people occupying the house, he, his family, and a servant, right? But are sharing out the time. I'm in for 8 hours, next 8 hours is your slot, the third 8 hours is your slot. But at any given time, and the Sahabi that is coming to meet him, he says, I haven't seen a person as hospitable as Abu Huraira, as energetic and enthusiastic towards his mihman and towards his ibadat as well. If he's enthusiastic about his ibadat, then about his mihman as well. He's memorizing hadith and preserving it after Isha. That's why he was told, Osani Khalili bi Salatin. My friend Rasulullah Paksan advised him 3 things. An la anama hatta usalli al witr or utir, right? Mazin ma witr namaz, then sleep. Because the student now, when a student is exerting himself, 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, then it's unlikely that he may get up for tahajjud. So an utira qabla anam. In my witr namaz, then must go to sleep. But the house is just moving. See what makes up the house. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he entered the Kaaba Sharif on the occasion of the Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, until then there were 360 idols, I can hear the stories, right? So all that were broken, crushed, and thrown out. And then one of the first things that he had done when he entered the Kaaba Sharif, Kabbara ala Nawahiha. All the corners of the Kaaba Sharif, he recited Tanbir. See the evil influences, idols and idolatry, all that will be thrown out. Everything will be thrown out. So it has to have a spiritual bath. What is a physical bath? And a spiritual bath in the name of Allah Ta'ala, reverberating from the tank. So, we talk about the more Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he's living in this environment. And that environment is taking such a magnificent effect on him that every day without fail, he's going to give a bayan, giving tabligh from that time. So, he'll read something from the Quran Sharif, whatever his sabak was, and he's going at a certain point, and he's giving a bayan, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. See that fikr that he's got. I have to do a certain work, and I must be prepared for it. Whatever Quran says, if I've learned, I'm going to give a bayan for that. The same sabak is repeating it. In his personal capacity. So the greater concern is, I must get myself right, get my house right. Around this time, his father is quite wealthy, very wealthy. So when he's very wealthy, he's doing business, right? And when he's doing business, big amount, million, 2 million, so he has to take a collateral as a security, right? You're owing me so much of money, so you need to give something as a collateral, as a security. So what you'll give me? I'll give you this whole flat, right? I'll give you as a security, as a collateral. So his father is taking that as a collateral. Until the money is discharged, he'll keep this. But now, Muaz's father wasn't an alim, so he felt, well, this is mine now. It's a collateral, so I can do what I want. So he would rent the property out. So if it's, say, 20 blocks there, I'm taking the rental. So Mulana started reading now. He's reading Hidayah, and he wrote up to his father, okay, Abba, this is not right. Qard, kullu qardin jarra naf'an. It's a loan that is taking a benefit. You took this as a collateral, but you can't take a benefit out of this. This will amount to riba, it amount to usury. So you see, everybody's mind was different. Mine was, how can we conform? How can we agree? How can we just do what Allah Pak wants? That was the mind. And if that's not the mind, we'll come to the story again. If that's not the mind, then our mind will be, let's make it happen. What? We can't make it, we can't, it's not happening. So somehow let's force it, let's make it happen. So we'll use the name of Deen to do our own thing. Deen ka naam aur hamara kaam hoga. We'll use Deen as a front and we'll do our own thing. So any haram business, we just have to give a Deeni front, interest, whatever we need to do, but we'll just give it a front so it looks Islamic and it's sufficient. You know, I remember in my childhood, you won't get this rainbow chicken. You know? Rainbow chicken culture just came around, I think, 68, 67, that's when it started. But before that, it was this free range. What they say, Zulu chicken, right? Free range. Zulu chicken is not right, because if it is in Malawi, what do you say? Huh? Can't say that. Free range is right, because everywhere you get that free range. So, the in thing at that time was a free range. So I remember, you know, we used to be selling also ourselves. So we'll have a small pen, about 20 chickens, someone will come. So I say, no, I want that one. So we'll have to go, we are still now, go catch the thing. And then they used to wait, right? But that's not the right thing. My school says it's not right. Can't weigh animals. So they weight it and approximate, they'll say, alright, this is the approximate weight, and they charge so much. So that chicken was a novelty. You'll get maybe once a week or once in 2 weeks you'll get a chicken cut and you're eating that. And everybody gets a share. 20 people get one share. Like a river those days, right? Now, one person is in Gami, India. So now, a chicken is a novelty, a delicacy. You don't get the thing all the time. And now he's craving for that thing. So he saw one nice, fat, plump rooster. He saw, hey man, this is someone's lost property. So lost property is, he must advertise it. And if you can't find the owner, if you are deserving, go and enjoy it yourself. Now, he's caught between the both. One is that I can't eat it, and one is I'm poor now. How to make it work, you see? How to merge the both and make it work. So that's the culture. This is the culture that we're running in. We're talking of the second class, you know. The second class is, don't express remorse, don't ask for a maaf, don't feel ashamed of the wrong that you're doing. So try and appease yourself, justifying it. Whatever wrong, whatever mischief, wrong, corruption, indecent behavior, do it, but don't ever say it's right. Don't ever say it's wrong. Just try and justify the thing. So now, man got the rooster and he can't let go. He saw this is a luck, man. So he said, no, I have to advertise this. So he takes it to the marketplace. Obviously, it's a public area and everybody will frequent the thing. So he got the rooster up like that and he says, Ye murga, this rooster, right, kisses down very softly, a kiss guy. Who's the owner? So he did it for one day, the second day, third day. Third day, he says, I follow the procedure, I'm deserving, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, halal. So this is the culture that we are moving in, that we need to make it look halal, but rob, cheat, plunder, do everything, but make it appear like halal. Now, how careful we need to be in this age? What type of precaution we need to exercise? Today I was explaining a class on jihad. You know, when youngsters, when they hear jihad, everybody gets fired up. But now, I have to explain them that the jihad also is on three fronts. What? One front is the adu wa zahiri, the visible enemy, right? That's one jihad. And there are two jihads that are concealed within you. Here you can see it. You have to make jihad there, right? And there's two jihads that are concealed, you can't see. One is the nafs, and one is the shaitan, right? So the nafs, what is the nature of the jihad against the nafs? Otherwise, you can't come under the purview of the verse, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّوْا. See, you strive, then there's a promise of guidance. So you want the guidance and you need to strive. But then strive like how we want you to strive, not like how you want to strive. You are striving, but not like how we have explained, performing 1,000 rakat namaz, but in the opposite direction. You're striving, you're exerting yourself, but is it valid what you're doing? Do it like how we say. So the jihad will become valid if it's at three levels. One is against the nafs, against the shaitan, then the visible enemy. Now you will ask, alright, the jihad on the nafs, how do you do it? So I have to bring it in a very simple format so that anybody and everybody can get it. So the jihad on the nafs is at three levels. One is it's a struggle against the nafs. When it's a struggle against the nafs, that means the nafs will be pushing and you'll be pushing. You can see the nafs is pushing you and you are pushing. So the nafs, what will be the push of the nafs? The nafs will push you towards every material attractive thing, right? Woman, wealth, holiday, running around, smart cars. The nafs won't it push you towards it. Yeah? Just came out of the masjid, he saw him. He, mashallah, what do you pay for this, man? Let me drive. Let me take a spin. Aren't you attracted? So the nafs will attract you. So anything that is attracting, it will attract you. Now in that attraction, you have to just distract yourself. It will attract you and it will restrain yourself. Because everything, زُجِّرَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْقَنْطَرَةِ. So it's within you to be attracted. And you have to just restrain yourself. You cannot say, I can just give into my, I must just give in to my tendencies, my natural tendencies. You can't say that. You can't say that you have the right to be the choice, you have the right to be what you want. Huh? What? You have the right to be what you want. Right? Now in London, right? About last week sometime it happened. London. So a young child under 15 or so is going to school. So the teacher is talking to him. So he says, meow. Now the teacher is getting very irritated, right? But now the law in all the Western countries is, let alone physical abuse, they can't even be verbal abuse. Now you can't even shout the child. Again he said to hamjao him, explain him, meow. So they had to somehow patawa him and get him to talk. He said, no, I've got the choice to be the person I want to be. But that's his legal, democratic right. Now, if you just extend that analogy, right, tomorrow your one child is 17 years of age. He's got a tendency. He's born like that. He's given him the choice to be what he wants. He wants to be a dog now. Bow, bow. Whole night is barking away. Acceptable behavior, I ask. And the other child, because now from small they're eating swine, alright, he wants to be a pig, no? You have to be the natural tendency. He'll say he's born like that. So if you invite him in the house, then he'll say, hey, just show me the toilet, just leave everything there, you know. Just leave everything there. I will wipe it out clean for you. I ask you, one night, can you share that one night with a person that got this type of tendency? Not living in one room, different rooms. But can you share the house with such a person? This is just stats I'm showing you. I'm not telling you what must do and what mustn't do. I'm just telling you what's happening in the world, right? Duniya mein aajkal kya ho raha hai? So the nafs is going to make its demands. And you have to restrain yourself. Now, you'll ask them, why do you need to restrain yourself? You'll need to restrain yourself because, say for example, you made jihad and you didn't learn to restrain yourself, right? You made jihad, so you got control over the land, right? Makkah now fill up. So you made jihad, you strived, right? So the first level was to learn, the second level was to apply yourself. One is ta'al, one is ilm, one is amal. And on both fronts, you need to correct yourself. Correct your knowledge, because otherwise how are you going to differentiate halal and haram? Can you differentiate? You can only differentiate halal and haram if you studied makruh, haram, wajib, farz, makruh tanzih, makruh tahrimi. How are you going to make it out? If you didn't study, can you make it out? You can't work it out. Then that was one level to learn the thing. And then to apply yourself, right? What you learned, halal and haram, farz and makruh, mustahab and sunnat, apply yourself, get the thing right. So for the learning, you need someone to guide you, instruct you and lead you, right? Otherwise, on your own, could you have done it? So like you needed a guide to get the theoretical side right, then you need also a guide, even more, to get the practical side right. Fikr, concern, you learned about hasad, so you don't have hasad. You learned about malice, so you don't have malice. You learned about pride, so you don't have pride, right? You learned about greed and you don't have greed, right? You learned about practicing the sunnah and you're practicing the sunnah. Right? So you need a guide to see that you're applying things, implementing things correctly. But now I ask you, for a moment, I'll just stop for 10 seconds, right? I ask you, think to yourself, make hisab, correct yourself, just analyze within you. The type of fikr that you made to learn, whether it's a hifz class, tajweed, hisab, etc., the fikr, the punctuality, the time that you devoted in exerting yourself to learn all these theoretical side, did you give that time to learn the practicality of it, to apply yourself? So that means, is your jihad right? Are you failing your duty? Then is your jihad right? If you didn't learn and you didn't have a guide to supervise you all the time, hey, this is not right, this is right, this is not right, this is right. You didn't learn and you didn't perfect it. You say, now we come Ramadan. Once in a year, holiday mood, coming, not coming, doing your own thing, not doing your own thing. So now we're doing Ramadan. I ask you, are you doing the jihad? So that means your jihad is not right. Now what's wrong? Now you ask, all right, if we didn't get this thing right, what's wrong in taking control of a country? So the wrong is this, then you didn't learn to suppress your nafs, your ego, right? You didn't learn to suppress the greed for wealth, right? You didn't learn to suppress your eyes on looking at the wrong. You didn't learn to suppress yourself to listen to a guide, right? Tomorrow, the helm, the control is in your hands, right? So the kafir will say, what's the difference? He is watching movies, I'm watching. He's looking at girls, fascinating himself. I'm doing the same thing. He's eating interest, I'm eating interest. He's doing all the wrong, and I'm doing the wrong. So what's the difference between me and him? So why does he need to have control? That's the first wrong, right? The second wrong is even worse, where you do things in the name of Allah Ta'ala, in the name of Islam. You may ask, why it's so wrong? So I ask you, right? I ask you, there's about 50 cars parked, right? So I go and rob all the cars, got a tow truck, pulling all the trucks. I say, no, he told me we're going to take all the cars away. I use your name to take all the cars away. I say, will you appreciate that? Hey, what's wrong with you? Hey, you better get a wake up now. Using our name to do all these haram things, won't you get upset? Doing all haram, you went and had some alcohol and liquor and all that, or you went and, to one whatever place you went and did, so Blue Zoom and all that. No, that Mulana told me, you can go there. He told me, it's alright, you can go. So I asked you, how will you feel if your name was used to do the haram? Will you feel comfortable? Will you feel right? Now, exactly the same, using Allah Ta'ala's name to endorse your haram, how does Allah take it? You feel so upset, you're nothing. You are a total non-entity, right? And you feel so upset. And here Allah Ta'ala, most supreme, using His name to do all the haram, then how does Allah take it? See that, how it works out. So Allah Pak wants that you give Him the true loyalty, right? Ma umiru illa liya'budullah mukhlisina lahu ad-din hunafa. When you say hunafa, sabse kat karke khuda ki taraf, khalis Allah Ta'ala ki taraf, yaksu ho karke. That's all the meaning. Hunafa, ma umiru illa liya'budullah. There's so much of emphasis, hunafa, ma umiru, one for taqeed. And mukhlisin, right? Another taqeed. More emphasis again. And hunafa, yaksu ho karke. Can you see three levels of emphasis impressing? Just me, nothing else. Recognize me. Allah is telling you all the time. In this verse, it's so clear. So I ask you then, are you fair that you want to do jihad and you want to take control? Are you right? So now, do you see now why the control is not coming in your hand? Because you didn't discipline yourself. Allah put you onto that, into that pedestal. Will you run His business or run your business? Ask yourself. He puts you onto that position. Whose business are you going to run? His business or your business? You will see the second level, right? Third level, I'm saying. See, it's in my roof, my rules, right? My roof, my rules. Someone wanted accommodation for a day or night or two. You say, my roof, my rules. This is how you live, this is a toilet, this is a kitchen, this is my roof. I start doing his own thing. At 12 o'clock, he calls all girls and all, he's dancing all naked. I say, is it acceptable? But the music is blasting loudly, girls there all scantily dressed and they're dancing. No, but you allowed us to stay. My roof, my rules. This world is Allah's roof, His land, His roof, His rules. Not your rules. You can find another place to go and live in and do what you want. But if you're living in this planet of Allah Ta'ala, then it must be His rules. So that's called Ilahu Kalimatillah. Anyway, we're talking about more time, right? And we've moved on, right? But anyway, now, I said one enemy that is concealed is the nafs. And the other enemy that is concealed is the shaitan. Can you see the shaitan? You don't see that. Someone, some buzurg or someone may have seen him, whatever. But as a rule, you don't see him. يَرَوْنَهُ وَقَبِيلُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُ. You can't see him. He can see you. Right? Now, then shaitan has control over who? See, if this is not right, then there must be a concerted effort to get it right. Because in a madrasa now, the whole fikr is the theoretical side. Right? The practicality is not there at the level that is desired. Right? You're applying yourself, but not at the level that you desired. Always playing music, somebody doing something else on the phone, all that. Whether it's a madrasa, whether it's a jamaat, the haram is haram. It doesn't mean now you're in a madrasa, so it became halal. Or in a jamaat or a khanqah, it's halal. No. The haram will remain haram. So the effort to learn and the effort to apply. Otherwise, somebody is going in a madrasa. So what's the difference between a madrasa or a khanqah or a jamaat and at home? Because we're watching all these things at home. You're watching in the madrasa, watching in the jamaat, watching in the khanqah. So what's the difference? So why come here? Understand? So if we don't get these things right, then we're promoting the wrong message. In a madrasa, you're promoting a wrong message. In the khanqah, in the jamaat, you're promoting a wrong message. So the message can only come right if the application is right. If the application is not right, then you're going off. And sooner or later the child discovers, or the person that entered, he discovers. Murad is in the staff room and he's smoking a cigarette, right? Now nobody knows that he's smoking a cigarette because he's in the staff room. Incidentally, one child had to deliver some paper and he saw. So now the ustad is making up a story, you see. So, you know, I got a chest problem, you know, coughing and all that, so this is a recommended cigarette. Now the child comes up of age and he gets to know that the ustad made a bluff, you know, made a fool of him. What happens? Does he have any respect left? He gave a cover up story, he deceived me, that's what he was doing. But I ask you, does he have the respect? So the jihad is on the nafs as well. The nafs will make a lot of demands. Do this and go do this and do this. And you will have to restrain. That's what you are here for. You learnt it now. Learn to apply yourself. But now then we're talking about the jihad against the shaitan. So what's the jihad against the shaitan? See, the Quran Sharif says, إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ. Shaitan will attack you from two fronts. I showed you the nafs. The temptations, right? And shaitan, how will attack you? Sultanu al ladin yatawallawna, those that befriend him. Now how does the friendship come in? The friendship comes in, wala udillannahum, wala umanniyannahum, wala amurannahum, fala yubattikunna adhan al anam. Number one, they'll do things in the name of deen, you know, Allah Pak's name, and they'll do everything. Number two, for waswasalahum ash-shaytan, he will instill thoughts into your mind. Now you think, a thought, just a thought, so what's the big deal about a thought? I say you sit down here, right? And someone has come and tell you, we saw your wife, and hands in hands with one man that side, you know, looking very smart, and they were hands in hand by the gateway. You're sitting out, calm, and one person had tell you to see her. What happened to you? I say, what will happen? Ganda teja, why? See that one thought, what you can do it to you? He'll spin your head around. Now you think that waswasa is a small, insignificant thing, but that thing starts off like that, and then when it instigates you, you can't control yourself. So now you think about it. There's so many avenues to get these wasabis. I ask you, doesn't it happen to the WhatsApp, to the work that your social groups? One person posted something to the group, second person, third person. Don't you get worked up? Don't you get affected? Do you get affected or don't get affected? So you read books, you got this network, right? You meet some friends outside the masjid, inside the masjid, and they're talking about something or the other. Do you get affected or not? Jalna li kulli nabiyin shayateen al insi wal jinn. So shaitan doesn't have to come in the shaitan form, in the insan form he can come also. So I ask yourself, standing before Allah Ta'ala, are you affected by these shaitanic influences or not? Can you say, I am totally... So this is the one way that shaitan gets you. Sultanu ala al-ladin yatawallahu, who is befriending him. So that means the works that will enroll you, enlist you into his friendship. So he's pouring all these injections into you, and you want to be a nice client. Listening to this, listening to that, you're listening to the third one. So what happens to your mind? So there's so many people that are coming this week or the other weeks also. So we're listening to that bayan, and so many, you know, interesting, dynamic bayan coming from here, that way, this country, that country. I said, bhai, I was supposed to just talk about this story for the more time, but the subject just came in. There's hardly any time now left. So I said, see, a speech is a vehicle supposed to take you to Jannah, right? So if the vehicle is reliable, just hold on to it and move on. Right? And if you're going to jump on from one vehicle to the other, you'll crash and you may die. You may get hurt. Right? All you need to see is the vehicle, is it right and reliable or not? Is it right for me to jump on and for that thing to transport me to Jannah? That's what you need, right? Safe, it must give you a safe journey to Jannah. But then who asked you to jump from one to the other, to the third, to the fourth? Who asked you to do all this? You saw this thing here so bright, it's moving so well, so polished, the gloss, all that you saw, and you jump from one to the other. I ask you, are you complicating your journey or you are smoothening your journey? See the shaitanic influences, that's what he does to you. So you listen to one train of thought and hold on firm, then don't move. Don't move. One train of thought. The idea was not the dynamism in the thought, in the talk. The idea was the reliability of the conveyance. Not the dynamism in the talk. The reliability of the conveyance. That must be very reliable. Then you hold on to it very well. It's reliable, you saw it in quiet moments, in busy moments, in high moments, in low moments. You saw the car, how it's moving. So then you don't leave in this hole. That's what they say. Yagdar gir, muhkam gir. Hold to one and hold very firmly. Then don't move. He's saying something else. He's saying something else. Now you try to reconcile all the differences. He's given one bayan, he's given another bayan, he's got one approach. I tell people, see, there'll be two types of problems. One problem is clear is haram, right? See, na'uzubillah, someone is dancing with woman, or they are dancing woman and he's standing there. You say, but this person, I can't be with him. Because the wrong is open, it's blatant, right? And the other wrong is, you will say now there's differences of opinion, right? The difference of opinion is not to experiment. So the difference of opinion, let's experiment, let's go with it. Because there's a difference of opinion, no. The law of the difference of opinion is coming in the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, فَاسْتَنْزِهُ عَنِ الشُّبْهَاتِ. So you understand that there is some level of doubt. So what is supposed to be done in the level of doubt? Abstain from it. So no, I can take a chance. So you take a chance against who? Against Rasul Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is saying, فَاسْتَنْزِهُ, abstain. I said, no, there's a difference of opinion, so I can move with this one here, I can swap from here to here. So what will happen? Have you got that immunity and protection now? Go on, class. So that comes again to the amal. So shaitan, you see how shaitan works with you. And the second way that the shaitan works with you, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ. So all can say, no, we're in Islam, we're not polytheists, we're not idolaters. So the shirk comes in a different way. You talk about a shirk khafi, right? Now see how the destruction came to different people in the Quran Sharif, right? Fir'aun, the same line that was used by Shaitan was used by Fir'aun. He says, أَمَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي وَمَهِينَ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينَ. You have no money he's got. He can't even express himself. He can't express himself. وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينَ. He's got no wealth. This despicable rich. Can't you see me? See my glory, see my status, even the fanfare around me. See all that around me and see him. Just make a comparison, any comparison. So the line he used was like the shaitan. Am ana khair. Ana rabbukumul a'la. Right? And then what happened? Minhum man aghraqna. The same was used by shaitan. Ana khair. And then what happened to him? Rajim. The same line was used by Qarun. Utitu ala ilmin. I got this. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِ الْأَرْضِ. All these people that came with that ego, they came in and they were smashed down. And then Ad, مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَى. Me, super power, super duper power. What we are? Super poor, super duper power we are. And then these are ragtone. Afghanistan is a ragtone, and they are super, super duper. See what happens? See what happens? So this ego now, to smash that thing, you're saying that I did it, that means you're making shirk, shirk khafi. And Allah Pak doesn't want it. What was the way of the Anbiya? The way of the Anbiya was, Anbiya is saying, after an achievement, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي لِيَبْلُوَ. This is just absolute grace of Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah alladhi faddalana, in the height of the glory. And where they attributing it? Alhamdulillah alladhi, not me. Not Mufti Sahib, nobody. Allah Pak made it happen. Yes, we respect the mediums, right? We got it through the Anbiya, so we respect them. But the giver, innama ana qasimun wallahu muhti. But you see, what was the point of the collapse? The point of the failure. So you see the line in the Quran, إنما سلطانه على الذين يتولونه والذين هم به مشركون. See who Shaitan can work with. See the two lines. إنما سلطانه. He's got control over this people. يتولون. And now you want to break away his control. ليس له سلطان على الذين آمنوا. Iman must be right. See the shirk, please, that he held. وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. And then total trust in Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will make it happen. I must rely on Him. I must fear Him. I must guard myself against everything else, right? And He will help. So my trust, my reliance, my faith is in Allah Ta'ala, not in me, not in makhluk, nothing. The whole secular system is working in this way, that you need to be standing on your feet. Allah, what's going to happen to you? How are you going to run your life? See, from the beginning, from the grade one, they're teaching, they're frightening you. So Allah Pak is nowhere in the future. It doesn't feature anywhere. They're just obliterating, deleting Allah Ta'ala completely. Allah Pak is also missing.